Rise and shine. Like, no, seriously, sun, come out, rain, go away. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He is the All-American, national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, and she is the proud first lady of baseball today. Braves have won two or three. The leader of Allie's Army, Miss Amy, I mean, Allie Mack. And we've got Dylan back in the studio with his vanilla top five list and terrible wave and a bundled up with rain gear on Gordon Robinson in the house. It is a little rainy and a little misty, but we are bearing the elements, as they say, to be out here live from Flowery Branch at Atlanta Falcons training camp.
Yeah, we are. So let me check, though. Are we at the Speedway Classic right now, or are we at Falcons training camp? Because weather-wise, it's the same.
It's been bad. It's been bad all across the country, I feel like, all weekend, man. Every sporting event I wanted to watch all weekend was definitely impacted by rain. It's unfortunate.
It was. They even had the seniors championship at our club this weekend, and they only played one day. Because of how – I mean, I think it was a little bit soft not to play yesterday. I mean, personally, you bear the elements and you go win that championship. That's what they would do at the British Open or the U.S. Open or whatever, as long as there's no lightning. But they didn't for some reason.
Well, and the proof of that you would have played is that you had a golf pencil come out of your raincoat a few minutes ago. So, obviously, you would have played and have played in the rain before, Bo.
Yeah, this is my – I have multiple golf rain jackets. I decided to be a dum-dum and bring the short-sleeve one today because that's what you do in August.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a normal August day, Allie, with the 65-degree temps that we're in, which is it's fabulous. I mean, because I'm a long-sleeve at training camp kind of guy anyway, so I already have long sleeves on, but the cloth might get a little wet.
Bo, you talking about the – golf pencil coming out of your hood reminds me of when you had a golf pencil stabbing you in the neck because you didn't realize it was in your hat. You remember that?
Yeah, the golf tee. I put golf tees in my underneath my over my ear, like in my hat. And one day it kept falling out. So I go, I'm gonna put it in the back here where the hat, you know, the it fastens, and it got low. And I did something like that. I was like, damn, that hurts. And, like, I literally thought that I had injured my back with sharp sensations.
Goodness.
It was just the golf tee hitting a pressure point.
Absolutely ridiculous. Well, today it is a little bit rainy, but we are out at Flowery Branch for Falcons at training camp. It's 6:20 today. We do have some audio from Zach Robinson to play for you. 7:20, we will go in the huddle. We'll get you caught up on the Micah Parsons drama. 8 a.m., we've got the wake-up call. That's your chance to be part of the show with us. But right now, let's go ahead and talk about the Falcons. Over the weekend, they signed cornerback Graylin Arnold. They released offensive lineman Killian Zaire. And with the Falcons having their first preseason game on Friday, what kinds of things are you expecting to see at training camp today?
The same things that we've seen since they put pads on. To be blunt, but not, you know, sarcastic or jerk about it. There's not a lot that to me they're going to change. They're going to what they're doing from my, and Mike might have a different opinion as he actually was in a spot like this. But to me, they're trying to work on things that they haven't that like installing things for the season, or, you know, kind of dotting I's and crossing T's on things that they don't feel like they're doing good enough to move to the next thing that they're working on. I don't think preseason games really dictate what they're doing in practice because they're not installing a game plan. There's no game plan for this. Yes, they might have a way that they want to – certain plays they want to call to showcase players that they want to look at and et cetera. But there's no game – they're not game planning for Detroit. They're not worrying about who's going to start at quarterback for Detroit. They're just trying to get what they want accomplished, what they laid out before camp started as a coaching staff and team. They're trying to continue on that that task.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is we're going to talk about Zach Robin, some of his comments from over the weekend coming up in just a little bit. But one of the bigger takeaways I actually had from his was not about football. He was like, yeah, you know, we have over a month until, you know, opening weekend. And I was like, what? Still over a month until opening, you know, until the kickoff? It's crazy to think about. And, you know, as a player, when you walk out here and it is game week or 2 days before a game or whatever else, you do hope that there's something a little bit different. You're like, man, we've been at this 2 weeks, hard, you know, heavy hitting pads, this, that, and the other, hot weather. You hope that some of the reps come off, and they never do. They never do in week one of the preseason. You're like, oh, man, yeah, great. Hey, we got a preseason game in 2 days. Maybe this one will be a bit lighter. It's not. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody out there. That now, from a fandom perspective, you're kind of glad. You look at it and you're like, okay, who cares? It doesn't matter if you win or lose on Friday night. And so you kind of just put it in the back of your mind and think of it that way. So, yeah, I mean, they'll be getting after it pretty good. Now, I think when you get into – it a little bit, and I'm talking about maybe this week, but definitely over the next couple of weeks, what you will start doing is learning some of the just scheduling stuff, you know, things like that. You'll start learning, hey, this is when we do our walkthrough, or this is when we would go to the plane, or whatever else it may be from that aspect. But as far as planning for a game and planning to play the Detroit Lions on Friday night, nothing's going to change really for this team throughout the week, and you don't want it to. They've still got a long way to go, got a lot of reps to get and a lot of work as far as, you know, kind of preparing to play football.
Yeah, and the third preseason game, they've already made some cuts, I believe, this time around. They've changed everything. I used to know everything. I used to have every date. Like, I knew exactly after this week there'd be a cut down, next week there'd be a cut down. Now they kind of floated a little bit more than they ever have. But that week up to the Cowboys is the perfect simulation for this, you know, for those guys, to Mike's point, is that, hey, Thursday will be Thursday before the game in Dallas. You'll do a walkthrough that morning. We'll fly out that afternoon, that night. That's what they're going to do, most likely. Same like this week. Thursday, they'll, you know, there's a reason we're not here Thursday. Right. It's going to be a walkthrough. It's going to be kind of – they're not going to run these guys out there in pads before they play a preseason game. It's going to be a walkthrough. It's going to be a game week simulated type week, but – there's no real install of a game plan or anything.
Don't forget, too, you still have between the third preseason game and week one of the NFL season, you still have, what, 15, 16 days for the Falcons?
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a long time. So we're still a good ways off from really needing to get into the nitty-gritty there.
So what are you going to kind of look for today with practices we see through the raindrops today?
Yeah, it was weird when Raheem got here earlier out in the parking lot. We're like, I said, hey, man, y'all practicing in the mist today or what? And he kind of was like, hope so, after the weather last week.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of relief. So I think that a misty situation like this can actually be beneficial to a team. You know, I can't tell you how many times when you do have to look forward to a weather weekend, if there is one coming up on your weather schedule, that you'll have like dunk buckets for the footballs and throwing in kind of the mist, because this is something they would play in. And, you know, if it does begin to thunder or kind of gets out of hand, then, you know, becomes a thing where you can't get much work done. But for a coach looking to kind of practice in rainy conditions, this is something I think you would be willing to do. So I'll be curious to see kind of what they have out as far as practice goes today. But, you know, I would think that they'd be practicing outside right now and getting that work in the wet conditions.
Oh, absolutely will. I've stood here out here, and I think you were – I think it was 15 or 16, Mike, so I'm pretty sure you were already – well, I know you were already gone. But I stood out there and just – I mean, rain, this would have been heaven. It was raining so hard during a training camp, and they practiced the entire time. That was different staff. However, some of the guys that are on this staff now were on that staff. Ra, Ulbrich, you know, Scar, name a few guys that I know that were on that staff.
Did they go to a different field? Did they go to the field three down towards the indoor?
I'm curious
because usually the turf specialist out here does not like you practicing in the rain.
They were lined differently.
Yeah,
they weren't lined. Right. They're horizontal now, right?
Correct.
Now they were vertical,
yeah,
and so they were on practice. They were in between. They were on two,
right?
And the way it was done then, but so this is great. This team practices in rain, anyways. Football's a sport playing the elements. Now, if there is lightning, the indoor is going to be opened up, and they're all going to go down to the indoor because it's a closed off facility, you know, and they'll practice in there. But they don't want to practice in there. They can do more and have more going on when they're out here on three fields, and they are really just two, and that's what they want to do.
So if you are coming out here today, make sure you bring a raincoat. Don't be like me. All I brought was a little zip-up hoodie today, and I'm going to suffer for that.
I think we're all in the same boat with that one. I'm mad at myself.
Yeah, so make sure you dress appropriately for the weather, because more than likely we're going to be practicing outside today. Now, pivoting real quick to the Speedway Classic up in Tennessee, it was not the weather we wanted. Game got delayed quite a bit, but the Braves did pull it off. They won 4-2, took 2-3 for the series. It was the Eli White game.
Debacle on Saturday night.
Yeah.
No hot dog buns, no cheese for the nacho chips. Parking seemed to be an issue.
I love that's what we started with.
And then rain. Well, look, that's what this was an event. Let's be real. This was nothing but a fan event. This was about promoting a NASCAR track, stadium, atmosphere with baseball in it. And they failed on Saturday. Sunday seemed to be a pretty decent product. I watched the game. Pretty sure Eli White had like four RBIs or maybe three RBIs and a 4-2 win. Hurston Waltrip, that's the Hurston Waltrip that I saw at Florida. That's the one that the fans wanted. He was the guy that's had control issues, but he looked pretty freaking good. They did send him back down, but I'm not sure how he's not starting.
Well, they have a doubleheader coming up, his next start, so you can bring him up to be the, 26th, 27th player on the roster for that. So I think that's kind of a sneak peek into what AA is thinking as far as that. You can bring him up without actually using an actual spot for him on the way back up. But I it was fine. Like, you know, watching it was kind of cool. I hate that some of the writers out there and some of the things that were written about it is like a historic home run for Eli White.
Yeah.
Because it was at a racetrack. I'm like, you can't manufacture historic. Okay, just because you decided to put it at a racetrack doesn't mean we get to slap historic across the front of it. It was a home run at a fan event.
It was that first one, because he had two. That first one cleared the track.
Yeah, it was a tater.
That was a bomb.
It was a tater.
I mean, that was absolutely hammered.
And they did have a home run car that ran the track when it happened.
Yeah, they sent the pace car there. Well, one fan lost his hat reaching for the ball, and then the ball too. So he was a complete failure on that. I think it was a kid though, so I don't want to crush him too much. I think it was cool.
Was it 91,000?
We had local TV celebrities front row yesterday.
Oh, I saw that.
Friends of the show, Kelly Price and Allison Mastrangelo, were back there behind home plate. I texted, was like, hey, nice seats. They're sitting back there, look up in the ninth inning. They're just sitting there. They're like, perks of having to stay.
Love it.
Well, the Braves will take on the Brewers this week in their next series. But coming up, what does Zach Robinson have to say about Michael Penix's performance over the weekend at training camp? That is next with the Morning Shift. We are live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. We are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the studio. Gordon is out here with us, keeping us on air. And we're going to get into the happenings of Falcons training camp over the weekend in a moment. But first, let's talk about Micah Parsons. He has requested a trade. Jerry Jones, though, saying Micah Parsons' trade request is just part of the negotiation, and he is not losing sleep over Micah.
Don't lose any sleep over.
So just to be clear,
that's one thing I would say to our fans, don't lose any sleep over. As always, in any relationships, there are different moods at different times of your relationship. That's what it is. Don't lose any sleep over.
So just to be clear,
that's one thing I would say to our fans, don't lose any sleep over.
Just to be clear, you don't feel the relationship has changed at all from the Super Bowl Big 12?
Again, I know my attitude, and my attitude is the same one I've had. I think the world of Micah, he's an outstanding player. He can really help us, but he's got to fit in with what's in the best interest of the team, and that's what the negotiation's all about.
I tend to agree with him to a point. I think this is all, what did we not just watch this play out with Myles Garrett in Cleveland? And he was like, I'll never play in Cleveland again, blah, blah, blah. And then, boom, he's got like the largest contract in NFL history like 2 weeks, a month later. So I tend to agree to a point. But the older Jerry gets, the worse. I mean, he did this with Emmitt Smith back in the early 90s, which I don't think – I might be the only person who even remembers that. But he held out for the first two games after they won a Super Bowl. He missed the first two games after they won a Super Bowl and then came back because of money. And so I think it'll work out, but Jerry's making – it's getting worse as Jerry's gotten older, these things. CeeDee Lamb had this similar. I think Dak did as well in a certain extent. Like, it feels like it's getting worse, and this one feels – like, everybody keeps saying, though, that, well, Jerry, in his mind, thinks that he and Micah have an agreement, and then he got all upset because Micah's like, yeah, I'm fine with that. Talk to my agent, and Jerry felt – I guess betrayed by that.
Yeah, but somehow Jay-Z got brought into that conversation where it's like he's talking about a deal he did 10 years ago with Dez Bryant, and he's like, you know, these agents, they just, hey, when things go south as far as the players' accountability, they don't ever answer the phone. And he kind of threw Jay-Z under the bus because he's like, we did a deal with Jay-Z's company, and we paid Dez Bryant, and then when Dez starts missing meetings, you know, Jay-Z won't pick up the phone. And I'm like, how did we get here, man? Like, how did this even happen?
Apparently, Dez Bryant was like, hey, I know where the bodies are buried. Don't come at me.
Yeah, he really did. He was like, you don't want this smoke. But it's unfortunate, man. And, you know, I keep getting a ton of questions, both through text message and on social media, about Micah Parsons to the Falcons. Dude, y'all don't want to pay that price. I don't think. I mean, I think the best solution, if there were going to be a trade, can we just get Trey Hendrickson to Dallas and Micah to, you know, to Cincinnati and just call it a day? You know what I mean? Can we just switch these two situations and maybe all this will get patched up with these organizations?
Well, that's not any better. That's bad to bad. As far as owners go, if you want to get paid.
Well, I think the argument against paying Trey is that he's 30 years old, and, you know, Micah obviously doesn't like Jerry Jones right now, so that's, you know, the only thing. I'm playing anyway. I'm just joking. But
no, I know, but it's just like, this is a whole – I'm over this. I'll never play. I want to trade. I'm going to write, a freaking essay about it and everything, and then the next thing you know, you're like, oh, you know, I always wanted to be here. I never really wanted to be traded. It's like, yeah, no, it just kind of gets – I don't care anymore. The off season's over. It's football season. That's the way I look at it right now.
Do you think at the end of all of this, Micah will actually end up where he's supposed to be, like with the Cowboys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do.
I do, too.
I do. They're not going to let him walk.
One less than 1% chance that he would be somewhere else.
Look, you can talk about the cap, whatever you want, but there's ways to manipulate it where you can pay your three best players, and that's what they would be doing. And Dak, Micah, and CeeDee Lamb. Where they screwed up was paying Trayvon Diggs what they did to me. Because I think Trayvon Diggs is an average cornerback in the league who had a great year because he was ball hawking off of what? With guys like Micah Parsons in front of him. And he was able to do those things. He's a ball hawk. I mean, do you disagree with me Trayvon Diggs is basically just I'm going to step in front of you. I'm all or nothing. I'm going to give up a big player, make one.
I agree, but I think there's a lot of value that comes along with that. Can you imagine if we had a corner with the Falcons that gets 7 interceptions this year?
Well, imagine if we had a Micah Parsons type pass rush, we might.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you force passes to be released too quickly and bad throws, and that's the benefit of having an elite pass rush, which we haven't had since 2012.
Well, it's certainly an interesting situation. We'll keep you posted on everything Micah Parsons related as it comes to the forefront. But let's get into why we're sitting out in the rain right now. We're at Falcons training camp live in Flowery Branch. If you're coming out here today, please remember to bring your raincoat. Over the weekend, though, Zach Robinson gave a presser, and he was talking about how they are diversifying the run game.
Our offense, as any offense, is going to run through the run game. And we've obviously got great offensive line coach, Coach Ledford, Nick Jones, Flats. Those guys are doing a great job. Obviously, the five guys that we got, we wouldn't trade them for anybody. And so we know we'll run through those guys, sticking with our core, you know, foundation of wide zone. And then, like you just mentioned, in the offseason, that's where we got to look at as coaches, and we spent a bunch of time together collaborating. Hey, what are some of the compliments we can get going off of some of the stuff that obviously a year into it now everybody's watching our stuff from last season. So it was a good collaboration all spring, and I think we've got some good mixers that will hopefully show up once we start playing real football. But it was a great collaboration between the whole staff and the off season, and, you know, pick and choosing, not losing our identity of what we know we're going to be, and then what are those compliments off of the wide zone that we can get going. I think it's been really positive so far.
Dude, so curious. And he mentions numerous times that, you know, this is something that you won't see until they're playing real football. Kept using the word real football, but I mean, look, man, when it comes down to it, you are what you are, and we got reminded of that. Dylan and I out here talking to Chris Lindstrom not too long ago, last weekend. But, it is what it is. You're a wide zone team. That's what Bijan does. It's just that every now and then you have to have some kind of counterpunch, some kind of misdirection that is involved in this. And I know that they've done a couple of things last year, towards the middle of last year, that were a little bit different. But I can't wait to see what they came up with. He talks about collaboration. He talks about getting in the meeting room, talks about talking to all the coaches. Okay, I cannot wait to see what rolls out on the table. I've got some ideas in my brain of what that could be, but there's just no telling. No telling for Zach Robinson right now.
I'm glad that you talk about that, because there's so many parts of the intricacies of a run game that I don't know about, because they're offensive line stuff, right? I mean, that's pretty much where most of it starts, is with your blocking, right? I mean, in a run game, it's all blocking based. Yeah, the running back might go that thing, but it all starts up front with where, if you're doing duo, or you're pulling someone, or it's just the straight up regular zone blocking scheme type stuff. I mean, and all that stuff starts up front with the offensive lineman, and you got to have the right guys for what you want to run.
No, and the key to it is that having four members of that run game, show you one thing, and, have one or two guys show you something different and actually take the ball in a different direction. And it could be something as simple as, something that involved bend blocks, we used to call them, where you'd get the whole defense running one way and then you throw them all across your face, and it kind of becomes counter steps for the running backs. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. Maybe you include the uncovered guy on the front side of a wide zone. Maybe he pulls to the backside, kicks out the end, or you insert a Charlie Warner on some of those blocks, and he can kind of wrap around. There's many different ways to do it, and Zach Robinson and company have been so good, Dwayne Ledford really, at this wide zone, that I have to think that they've spent a lot of time, because he's been running wide zone so long, has Dwayne Ledford, that they've spent a lot of time looking at the options for other things they can do. You also – look, Michael Penix is more mobile than Kirk Cousins was, so you have those options on the table as well, as far as the bootlegs and everything else that can come along with it.
Well, and one other thing that Zach Robinson was talking about over the weekend was that it helps to have many pieces from offense back to understand how we can build off of last year.
All the guys we have back, I've never been on a team that has this many, returning starters, and so that's where you can kind of push it to another level, like you're saying. Last year, you're installing a new system, new scheme, new everything for guys. So you kind of, you go with your stuff that you know you're going to run. And then, but the continuity is invaluable in terms of the guys already mastering the system, the ownership that they show with what we're doing. They're all confident in what we do. And then that's where we can kind of, sprinkle in some new thoughts here and there. And those guys can handle it. We've got a bunch of smart guys, which is awesome. So definitely finding those balance between keeping our bread and butter going and then those complimentary mixers.
Complimentary mixers. I had a couple of complimentary mixers over the weekend myself. and like I said, this is something I think a lot of Falcons fans have clamored for. We do love the wide zone. You love Bijan does, but how many times have we talked about it already this offseason where Bijan Robinson's longest run is like 35 yards of his career? So finding some more home run hitters and kind of clearing up some of that traffic and finding just misdirection style of plays will make things so much easier on the offensive line in the wide zone. Lindstrom talking to me and Dylan saying, hey, I got better this offseason at what I do best, and that's wide zone. That's communication with Ryan Neusel and Caleb McGarry. But when you have the second, and third level players that are kind of have the eye candy, that, their eyes are kind of wandering a little bit, they don't know you're, running wide zone 85% of the time, then that can lead to more success as well in those run game concepts.
Well, it's so exciting because we're seeing all of this come together. Like, all the pieces are coming together, and this Friday, finally, you get some football. You guys excited for that?
I'm not ready. I spent half yesterday getting ready for it with some stuff, and I'm like, man. I'm
just dampen the party, dude.
Not ready. But it's not that I'm not ready to watch it. I'm just not ready I don't have our broadcast stuff ready yet.
Don't dampen the already dampened party.
Come on, baby.
But no, I think it's no secret my favorite thing to do professionally is the games with Arch and Wes, and I guess I have to work with Mike again these days more.
So
it's a lot of fun to do the stuff, and you just get through the preseason, because after that, man, that's when the real fun starts. And I think that's what some of these guys that know, you heard Zach Robinson, real football. That's the way. Sometimes
real
I'm like
football.
I'm like with the preseason is like it matters now. It matters now.
Well, and the countdown is on. Well, coming up, a calf injury cannot slow down this Gator, and we've got my Allie Mack drop. I found a real life Lassie. We got to get into that. That is next with the morning shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Yes, it is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the home studio. Gordon is out here getting rained on with us in this 35% chance of rain. We're about to talk about college football headlines, and then we'll get to my Allie Mack drop. But there is a heated debate happening here in Flowery Branch.
Because I got a problem with these weather apps on your phone. Because it said 35% chance of rain. It's been 100% since I've been awake today. And everywhere I've driven through, it says 35%. But everywhere I've been, it's been raining. Now, it's not a heavy rain. It's a very
it's a little bit heavier than a mist. A little bit heavier than a mist.
But it's just like 35% my butt. It's been 100% everywhere I've been. How's it 35%? And Gordon's over here like, no, that just means 35% of the city. And you're just in that 35%. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
It is something like that because it's not a 35% chance the way you're taking it literally. I don't remember exactly, but I think it's like 35% of the city you're in will have rain. Does that make sense?
I have heard that before. Mm-hmm. First of all, I got two takes on this.
Okay.
I think that's ridiculous because if there's a 30% chance of rain, there has been plenty of times it has not rained at all in the city that I've been in. Okay. Second thing is, if that really is the case, if it's 35% of the city or the area you're in will get rain, then doesn't it really mean the same thing in the end anyways? Isn't there just a 35% chance that you're going to be hit with the rain?
Well, but
because the app doesn't know what part of the city you're in, so doesn't it really mean the same thing anyways?
How does the app, when you have the GPS services turned on, which it does because it changes, not know where you're at when it knows exactly where you're at, all the time. I mean, you have a GPS that knows exactly where you're at.
I agree with you on that.
How are you telling me it doesn't know where you're at? And look,
I don't know.
I'm looking at the radar. Flowery Branch is not the biggest place, and I can tell you the cloud cover over the Flowery Branch is 100% covering it with rain. So this whole – I'm telling you, these weather apps suck.
Well, this is a long way for us to go to let you know that you're going to need to bring a rain jacket today if you're coming out to training camp out in Flowery Branch, because it looks like, it says on your app that it's a 35% chance. It is 100% raining out here, so please be prepared.
Actually, we're gonna start making Bo give us percentage chance that the Falcons win that weekend, and then so that we can start yelling at him the way he does AccuWeather.
Actually, I think we need to also, Allie, I don't want to be the assistant program director, but I think you need to change your messaging. It's a beautiful day out here. Everyone come show up so you can be as happy and dry as we are to watch Falcons practice.
I don't want anyone showing up ill-prepared for this. You need a raincoat. I was like, I thought I saw 35% as well. I was like, oh, I'll just take my hoodie real quick, and it'll be fine by the time we get on air. Everything will burn off. No. This hoodie is going to become a paperweight soon enough as it gets weighed down with the weather. So if you're coming out here, do not be like me. Bring a raincoat. Bring an umbrella. It is raining, but there will be practice. All right, Dylan, let's get into some college football headlines. All right, we're going to start with DJ Lagway back at practice after a calf injury, first time since camp opened. You happy to hear about this, Bo?
Yes, but no. It seems like it's pretty quickly that he's came back from a calf strain. And if all the Braves Twitter doctors told me that calf strains turn into torn Achilles, so yes. And I say that somewhat joking. Yeah, I'm happy that he's feeling better. Mike, he's one of these guys that it feels like he tweaks stuff easily yet recovers quickly. Because remember the hamstring, it was so bad he couldn't play against Texas. But then he played the next week, but he was highly limited in as far as the running aspect of his game. But he could still play.
Yeah.
So it either feels like he, and I'm not saying this, but this is just kind of an idea in my head, but does he overreact to injuries when they first happen and then realizes that they're not as bad? Are they overreacting as a training staff to when he says something's bothering him? Or
could be either one.
Or is he a guy that just recovers quickly? I don't know, but I'm happy that he's feeling better. I just hope that they take it slow because there's like their first game is against like Long Island or something. I mean, they could run out me at quarterback and probably do okay in that game.
Well, I think there are concerns because you don't have the Graham Mertz factor, obviously, that can rescue you in given certain situations. But I think that when it does come to DJ Lagway, look, it's been two injuries. Now, they've been widely publicized, and he's come back quickly from both of them. But we'll see what happens. I tend to think it could be a training staff thing, but it could be a training staff on the flip side that's making him get back out there faster. You know what I mean? Maybe they're pushing him back into action and saying, hey, you're not that hurt. So who knows? Who knows? But, you know, right now he's on track to start here in a few weeks, and we'll see what happens.
So Iowa State and Matt Campbell have finalized an extension through the 2032 season. Matt Campbell is going to get a pay bump. He's getting $5 million a year.
Does $5 million not sound ridiculous? When I read that, I was like, what? I know that he's gotten offers from other schools that have to be well north of that.
This is going to sound like a shot. It's not. The fact that Deion is making $10 million and Matt Campbell's only making $5 million is wildly ridiculous. Matt Campbell, and I'm not knocking Deion. I'm telling you, that's how good Matt Campbell is. Matt Campbell is, one of the 10 best coaches in college football. Because he's a guy who doesn't recruit. The Deions and the Kirbys and, Sarks, all these guys, all they do is try to recruit five stars and win with them. Matt Campbell has I want to recruit three stars. They'll stay here. I'll develop them into the best players they can, and I'm going to win 8 to 10 games if I can. I mean, he's probably one of the top two, if not the best football coach in the history of Iowa State.
Yeah, I agree. When I read $5 million, I was like, you know, he's approaching the territory where I'd give him a freaking lifetime contract if he would stay at Iowa State. That's been a place that was barren for a long time in terms of college football. So, yeah, I mean, pay bump, sure, $5 million. it seems like enough for him, man. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'd keep going up if I were them.
Well, Stanford has hired former Nike CEO John Donahoe as athletic director.
I'm not sure it feels like sports teams, professional and college, really fall in love with Nike executives for some reason. And I'm not sure if they think of the connection with Nike or because they see Nike as a sports company. But I don't think it always works. I just think there's a misunderstanding of or not really understanding fully what they're running in these sports programs. But, maybe it'll work out for them. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think anytime you look at it, I think this goes in every aspect of every company where somebody can kind of plaster. This happens in football coaching where how many times do you read, hey, this football coach, the guy that they hired, he coached Julius Peppers, and Julius Peppers was an all-pro that year. I'm like, Julius Peppers, Julius Peppers was going to be an all-pro whether or not this coach was there. You know what I mean? It's kind of that thing for me. So, yeah, once you've taken a position with a Nike, you can kind of pick your next move, and that's why people make moves like that. So, I don't have any thoughts on what they're doing or what this position is or who he is, but it's just one of those crazy things about corporate America right now.
Well, and Ryan Day is talking about what's going to decide the Buckeyes' quarterback battle. He's saying that Lincoln and Julian have good pieces around them, and they just need to make routine plays routinely, have command, and make great decisions.
It's the old game manager comment, Mike, and it's why I hate when guys say, oh, he's a game-managing quarterback, because I think it's the most misused label and statement in football, because they're all managing a game. Their game plan and the game that they're playing, and they're managing it by trying not to make mistakes. But I think to break it down completely, all he's saying is don't force things. Take what the defense gives you and put the ball in your playmaker's hands. Which, if it was that easy, there'd be a lot more good quarterbacks.
Well, here's what I'll say for Lincoln Riley. Like, I think anybody in most situations reads that and kind of rolls their eyes and they're like, yeah, dude, like that's what you're telling every single quarterback. But I think it's specifically tied to what Ohio State is and the talent they have all around their quarterback position. It's like, I don't need you to do too much. And listen, Julian Sain was the third guy that left Alabama when Nick Saban retired and went to Ohio State. Seth McLaughlin was a center, Caleb Downs a safety. Julian Sain was a guy that was like, who's that? And now he's involved in this quarterback competition. So I don't know what to think about it. I think that they'll come out, they'll have somebody serviceable, much like they did last year, and you know they'll find their way kind of through this thing and feel their way through it with a strong run game and a great defense.
Well, and a quick mention of defensive tackle Juice Gerald from Swanee. Collins Hillgrad has now committed to LSU.
Okay. All right. We'll move on.
He became a Bayou Bengal.
All right. I have found a real-life Lassie. Let's get into it. So this story honestly makes me wonder what my three dogs would do if they ever came into a situation where they needed to help, like Grant or myself. I just don't think they would do it. I just don't. It makes me wonder what goes on in dogs' minds. They chase their tails. You know, they're dogs. But this guy, Greg Thines, he was hanging out in a park outside of Pittsburgh with his dog. And so they're hanging out, normal day, but another dog approached him, trying to get his attention.
He would come just close enough for me to be out of arm's reach, and then he would bark, turn around, run a few steps, turn around, bark again. And it felt like he was trying to get my attention. And I got this overwhelming feeling that he wanted me to follow him.
So what happened was Greg did follow him because he realized this dog is Lassie trying to get his attention. Took him to a tent where two people were inside, a man and a woman, and they were unresponsive.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I did not see that one coming.
No, he shook them a little bit. Neither one of them were responsive, but they were breathing. So Greg called 911 immediately. Police and EMTs showed up, took the two people to the hospital. Of course, the dog couldn't be left alone because the two people, they are the owners of this dog, went to the hospital. Animal control showed up at the scene. And Greg was like, no.
All right.
No, you're not taking this dog. So Greg right now is taking care of the dog while these two people get medical attention. But do you ever just wonder with your dog? I know both of you have dogs.
Yeah.
If you were in a situation, would your dog help you or would your dog, like, sniff you for treats? Because I'm pretty sure Han, Chewy, and Nora would do that.
I will say this much, and I know that Bo's probably got one as well, but before I had kids, I used to try to sneak in the door to sneak up on my dog, especially when I'd get home late and I'd have, you know, late work events and get home at, like, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. One time I actually was able to sneak up on him in our master bedroom. My wife was in bed, and he hid under the bed. Like he's the kind of dog that when you pull in the driveway is raising all kinds of cane. When I snuck up on him, he was barking from under the bed, like, "Oh, Mom, did you hear that? Somebody's in here." So yeah, I have no faith in him. Well, he would let it happen.
My dog is so ferocious that it smiles at people and people think it's growling or like showing its teeth. I was like, "No, she's just really smiling." My dog is completely disarmed if you sit down, and she's like the lick monster. You know, she just wants to lick people's faces and give you kisses. My dog's not. I don't know what she would do. She might try to get help. She is smart, but I mean, I don't think she's gonna. You know, she's not. She's not the dog from Anchorman at all. She's not gonna. Baxter would survive. I'm not sure Sprinkles would.
Well, we have a new phenomenon outside of our house. Deer love to walk through our yard, and
wow.
Han and Chewy are not about it. They are not having fun with that. So they'll scare people away. But I think if someone were to enter the house, they would probably run and hide, just like your dog, Mike.
Yeah, he was. Look, man, I snuck up on Charles Barkley Johnson, and he was he was not having it. He was bunkered down under
it's
that
weird.
Bed.
It's weird that two Alabama grads have a dog named after an Auburn great.
Yeah, well, coming up, we're going to talk about what was going on at training camp over the weekend here in Flowery Branch. Defense was looking pretty strong. That is next with the morning shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.